I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our author, Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor, Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Jimmy, I know you're still drying your eyes from the royal wedding this morning, but see if you can, you know, pull it together long enough to.
Yeah,
you know.
I got it together, Michelle. Actually, I'm more teary because Lee Hill is leaving. That's so upsetting.
Indeed.
He's taking a shoe game to Denver.
Right.
That's what's up.
You've been warned, Denver. Watch out. Hey, fellas, business as usual. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Doing good, man. Great.
Well. President Obama decided to go hard this week and shut down.
I just need to say, Jimmy, this is Ruben.
Yes, sir.
Is this the point in the show where we have to all whip out our college transcripts?
Well,
to prove we're qualified?
You know what, man?
Show me your freedom papers.
It's so funny.
Those records are permanently
it's so
sealed.
Funny.
I just want to say that, yeah.
It's so funny you should mention that, man. Because President Obama, he's having to whip out his papers, man. He shut down the whole birther question thing, we think. This week, he released the long form of his birth certificate, which shows he was born in America. Surprise, surprise, Michelle.
Well, you know, what's interesting about it is that even he seemed to acknowledge that, yeah, he did. He just previously released the short form, which is what you get. The long form is something that the authorities hold on to. You know, the records that the state holds on to those records. So the officials hold on to that record. And so he had to go send his lawyer to Hawaii, go get the book or whatever, have the guy bring it and all of this. And he even seemed to acknowledge that even with all of that, he says, you know what, that's not going to be enough for some people. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
I know that there's going to be a segment of people for which, no matter what we put out, this issue will not be put to rest. But I'm speaking to the vast majority of the American people, as well as to the press. We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
Wow. Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for that, Michelle. No, so the haters, they're still not satisfied. Now they're questioning the president's academic record. Donald Trump brought it up, of course, right? The toop brought it up. So then the Republican commentator Pat Buchanan co-signed. He brought it up on MSNBC with Hardball host Chris Matthews, Michelle.
Yeah, we're shocked by that, too. Well, this is what was interesting to me is that Chris Matthews actually articulated what a lot of African-Americans and other people have been saying on blogs and on forums like The Root, which is that this is outrageous. And, well, I mean, on The Root, they use the term just racist because they're asking, you know, who else has been asked to prove their validity in this same way? But here's Chris Matthews co-signing that point of view.
Mm-hmm. What you're thinking is what drives a lot of African-Americans absolutely crazy about this country. They get a guy they may not agree with. They may think he's too conservative on a lot of issues. He's let them down on some things. But they see him being questioned in a way nobody else gets questioned. Here's the guy that busted his butt to become head of the Harvard Law Review. You've got to have law boards that you can't through the roof to get in that place. And then he does all this.
All right,
he gets back. He doesn't.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
That is so deep. You know what? Quiet is kept. I guess I can announce this. You know, I'm thinking about getting a project started on Kickstart.com where I tour 5 American cities and just set up like a booth and start just randomly asking white people to show me their papers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know how that works. But Ruben, what do you think about all this, brother?
Well, I will say that one of the most interesting commentaries I heard all week long was really out of left field, where some conservative, radical, right-wing Republicans were accusing Donald Trump of being a plant for the Democratic Party. because they know that he's from New York. They know that he's given money before to Charlie Rangel and Chuck Schumer and other Democrats. They know he's a moderate on some issues like gay rights and abortion. I think we're going to find out differently, whatever, but They really think that the harm that has been done to Republicans because of this man and this claim calls him into question. And I thought that was interesting because I think that there are a couple things we can agree on here. And one is that this would not happen if you had a white president.
Mm-hmm.
If you had another white male and a string of white males, nobody would say boo about it. I think the other thing we can agree on is that this is good for the White House, good for Obama, bad for Republicans. And the other thing, I think, last thing we can agree on is that so many Americans just want to move on and go on to other issues. And they hope that the president, you know, was able to do that with this. But I'm gonna zero in on the thing that really, I think, burns a lot of folks. And that is the really disrespectful tone that this kind of stuff takes on, that I cannot believe your average white male president would be subject to. And it goes back to what we've said before on this show. People like Arsalan and myself, and I mean, all of us to some degree, we're always having our allegiance, our love of country called into question. I'm a real American. You're not a real American. Show me your birth certificate. Latinos, I'll tell you, have been down this road before. We know all about being asked for our birth certificates. So it's crazy, but it's not too unfamiliar.
Have you ever been asked for your birth certificate? No, seriously, Ruben, have you ever?
Oh, I'm asked oftentimes either in person at I will go down when I was in Arizona covering immigration rallies. And once people see me there with my notebook and recognize my byline and know who I am and see that I've got a little darker skin, they'll ask me, where was I born? You know, where were you born? And I guess they expect me to come back and say I was born in Mexico. But, you know, I usually say, well, I was born in a hospital in Fresno, California in 1967. I don't have my birth certificate. I can't find it, nor can I find my car keys from last night. So, you know,
But you do get that.
You do get this sense, you know, from folks that they're trying to marginalize you in the same way they're trying to marginalize Obama. This is a way of putting Barack Obama in his place. Okay.
Right.
And I don't think there's a single person out there, and myself included, who has ever not been felt like somebody's trying to put you back in your place.
So Donald Trump, the Manchurian hairpiece, huh? All right. I'll take it. A-Train, go ahead, man. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, you know, we got to remember, guys, there's no racism here. We just need the black president to show us his freedom papers. As Jonathan
Blow. He's not that black.
Writer Jonathan Blank said, to have pulled this off, one would have needed to plan, implement, and maintain a flawless conspiracy over the course of four decades between multiple state agencies of Illinois and Hawaii, his posh private school in Hawaii, two Ivy League schools, the Illinois Bar Association, the government of Kenya and or Indonesia, the Social Security Administration, the State Department, and the IRS. You know, Elvis and Tupac are sitting on a beach somewhere saying they can't really believe this crap, can they? I mean, the birthers will never be satisfied. You give them the long form certificate, they're going to want the longer form. They're going to want the longest form. Donald Trump, a feckless charlatan that he is, really, we all need to sing a very famous choral refrain from a CeeLo song and give him the one finger salute.
Well, let me ask you this. Oh, stats. No. But here's what I wanted to ask you, though, Arsalan.
Yes.
From a strategy standpoint, it's not for nothing that Karl Rove, the former deputy chief of staff at the White House in the George W. Bush administration, called the architect, you know, for his obviously political strategist of many decades, is outraged about this as well. He says it's bad for Republicans. So the question I have is, why not keep it going then? Since it puts the party, from a political standpoint, was the president wrong to try to put this to rest?
I think
he's saying, look, this is stupid. This is distracting us from things that are more important. So really, from just solely from a political standpoint, should he have said it? Let it just, okay, go ahead, do your thing.
I am kind of disappointed that he actually released the birth certificate, because what that does is that gets it into their framework. It gets it into the Donald Trump's framework. You know, when Donald Trump talks about, you know, asking for his college transcript and, you know, him not being, you know, worthy to get into Harvard Law School. Donald Trump went to Fordham University before he transferred to Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. So is he saying that because he transferred and he's a white man, he had to work harder than a, quote, affirmative action baby like Barack Obama? I mean, it's patently offensive on its face. I mean, he said that China is raping this country when the Donald Trump clothing line is made in China. I mean, this is pandering to the lowest common denominator of American politics. 2012 is going to be the most racist presidential election in American history.
I just have to step up for Rutgers. Like, excuse me, nothing wrong with Rutgers. I have cousins who went to Rutgers. It's a fine institution. Let me just step up for that.
So is Fordham.
All right, yeah. Fordham. Sorry.
Well, I just wanted to jump in real quick. And, you know, it's absurd. And you know, I just don't think Donald Trump is even going to run for president. I just think this is, you know, what he's been very good at is drumming up attention for himself. And he's catering to all of the segments of the worst parts of this country to drum up attention. And even if you were to take his remarks on face, and you guys have done a great job, obviously, dismantling all of that, I mean, it's just this level of irony, of course, where Donald Trump, who, as one of my favorite comedians once said, is what a homeless man imagines a rich white person to be, is literally, you know, the guy calling people out in terms of meritocracy. I mean, he's a guy who inherited his wealth, a guy who has lied repeatedly on the record, has been proven to have done as much, And, you know, to question the president of the United States retroactively, having been the editor of the Harvard Law Review, having been the president of the United States, about getting into Harvard Law or Columbia or Occidental, all the places he went, is just ridiculous and a waste of breath, in my opinion.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. That's who you just heard. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, fellas. Now, we've seen a lot of back and forth on this. The NFL lockout, which was lifted by a judge. So far, the players have won the first two rounds of this, but I don't know, Michelle.
Well, I don't know. I'm interested in this. I'm dying to hear what particularly Pablo has to say about this, because I'm confused. So they're saying that the judge said that the players were suffering irreparable harm. Then the NFL requested a stay, and then the judge denied it. So there's an appeal pending. So what happens now? I mean, the draft was last night, right? So that was going to happen anyway. So Pablo, what does that mean? Does that mean that
right.
they have to let the players back in now?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what the judge said, and there's, at this point, and it's saying something, more clarity in this issue than ever. What the NFL has been trying to do, and that's literally lock out players from work facilities, keep them from coming to work as usual, is plainly illegal. That's what her ruling was. And the NFL can appeal that to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis. But the bottom line for fans and from anybody who marginally knows about football is that there probably, not definitely, but very probably will be football as scheduled.
Well, who negotiates now on behalf of the players, because the contract has lapsed? So who decides how much they're paid, for example? We know that the draft,
right.
I mean, who decides how much they're paid and what their rights are to go from one team to another and all of that stuff?
Right. No, that's a very good question. And what happens is, at this point, once the appeals process is done, and that should happen in the next few days, I mean the St. Louis court ruling on Judge Nelson's stay, whether it's official for good, period, or not, what happens is that there's this tremendous leverage for the players because they have decertified. You're right. And so what this means is that the antitrust suit, which has been winding its way through the court, is now putting pressure on the NFL to negotiate with the players, because they cannot operate in a way that is not illegal without having the union back in place. And so they have to convince the players now to sign this new collective bargaining agreement, negotiate one. And obviously at this point, because the league relies on the players to recertify, the players have leverage to get some of the things that they wanted. And that's, in fact, what the whole lockout was in the first place, this collective bargaining agreement, which shows the breakdown in the revenue of which money goes to where and how much and the draft rights and so forth. But the league year, which is football as usual, meaning free agents can be signed, trades can happen, hasn't happened yet. The NFL is kind of dragging its feet on that still, but that will be put to rest ostensibly when the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis finally rules for good on the stay denial that Judge Nelson did. That's where we are now.
Arsene, what's your take on this?
Well, my take has been the same, you know, since the beginning. I thought that this was sort of just jujitsu from both sides trying to get an upper hand. I thought that, you know, ultimately we were going to have an NFL season, and it looks that way unless, you know, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis, you know, overturns it. And I think we're going to have a football season.
Jimmy, what do you think?
I'm trying to figure out where this irreparable harm is. You know what? So they can't make it rain as often,
right.
Or you know, they can't pour Gatorade over their own head. You know, on principle, they should just have a membership at Bally's anyway. So I'm trying to figure out why they can't keep it tight.
They can't
just
get
on
20,
principle.
They can't get 20, 24s for their
because
Ferraris
because their careers are so short. I mean, that's the professional season is short. Mm-hmm. Their careers are short. I mean, it's not like, you know, a noted scribe such as yourself, Jimmy, who can do this, you know, into your 70s.
Or whatever, right? But that's why you have a savings account. You know, that's why you don't throw your paycheck into the air, you know, every second Saturday of the month.
Buy
right?
the toys.
That's
buy
true,
the toys.
Too. But I think Michelle has a very good point. And that's something that I think has emerged from all of this. And I hope that's what the public has taken away, is that the NFL is a lot more than Tom Brady. The average NFL career is about 3.5 years. That's the shortest in all of pro sports. And what I've been saying on this show and otherwise is that the NFL, football, is not like basketball. It's not like baseball. It's more like boxing. And that's troubling. I mean, these permanent injuries, what we've talked about for so long,
right.
concussions, brain trauma, and all of that,
mm-hmm.
that's something that's comes from a very, very brutal sport that is not present in basketball or baseball to the same degree.
Well, Ruben, before we let you, Ruben, does this change how you feel about the season? Are you still into it, or what do you think?
I'm still into it. I'm still hopeful there's going to be a season. I think there's too much money involved for everybody mm-hmm. to for them just to kiss it off. I think that will eventually win the day. But I've learned a lot from watching this debate over the last few weeks or so about, you know, arguing it both ways. I've seen the arguments on both sides. I'm torn. I understand that the people put themselves through this physical grueling punishment. They're going to have health problems and medical problems for a long time. We should be taking care of them. They should have a way of being taken care of. On the other hand, I'm sympathetic to the idea that you choose this career. It's a short career, true. But you chose this career. It's something you opted into, and you have a very you're breathing rarefied air for a short period of time, and you're having opportunities nobody else has. It's really a tough one. But I'll tell you what, I have a lot more sympathy for the players than I do the owners.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where I come down.
Before we go, guys, I got to ask Peyton Hillis. Well, I'm sorry, you know, I keep up with my sports, but video games, not so much. But he's now going to be the cover. He's now the cover for the Madden NFL 12 version of the video game. Jimmy, you giving up for your homeboy right here? Yeah,
Jimmy, where's your Peyton Hillis jersey, man?
Yeah, where are you? Yeah, where is it?
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, it's just kind of a double whammy because I'm not really a Browns fan and I'm not really a Madden fan either. So, you know, they say being on the cover of the box of Madden Xbox is like, you know, it's bad luck. It's a curse. But, you know, the Browns could use any kind of luck they could get, so... I don't know. I say we just give it to God and hope for the best. That's all you can do. I mean, that's all you can really do when you're a Cleveland Browns. Go ahead.
This is Arslan. You know, for anybody who watched football last year, I mean, Michael Vick had an absolutely magical season. And to, you know, have the Madden 2012 cover go to, you know, Peyton, what you're talking about, Hillis, is just kind of mind-boggling.
This was China voting Yao Ming into the All-Star game. All of Cleveland literally voted for this guy.
You heard that, Jimmy?
I'm sure that's what it was. Both
Jimmy
of them, right?
Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book The Denzel Principle. I think he voted twice. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Pablo Torre is a reporter for Sports Illustrated. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist who writes for the Washington Post Writers Group and CNN.com. He was with us from San Diego. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, founder of TheMuslimGuy.com, and managing editor of The Crescent Post. Arsalan was in Washington, D.C. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.